Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is sponsored by Jiminy's, makers of sustainable dog food made with cricket protein. Cricket protein is a superfood, delicious, nutritious, sustainable, humane, and prebiotic. To learn more and save 20% on your first purchase, go to jiminy's.com/TMS and use the code TMS20 at checkout. Coming up on TMS, what famous dead person do you want?
Nearly strangled Nick.
All about the Thanksgiving shawarma.
Get the nookie and put it on your cookie.
It gives the pink stuff to the baboon or it gets the hose again.
There's ones in January and November.
Just stop harvesting.
GameCube rice cooker.
Do a booster in the back.
His name was Cold. He was a wrestler.
I'd have to keep him in a room.
I prefer a hard biscuit.
Everything is browner on the other side.
Rolling the Grass with Wendy and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
We hear Batman. What now?
Riddler tricked us. I don't see no antidote.
Him can't call me stupid and get away with it.
It's a penis.
The Morning Stream. I got a thing about chickens.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to TMS. It's the morning stream for November 11th, 2021. Happy Skyrim Day. For real. 11-11, baby. It's good to be here. Also, it's the month we started the show? Wait, hold on.
No, we started in January.
You're right. We did January. Why do I always think it's November? Why is it?
Because there's ones in January and there's ones in November.
And I am but a simple man. That's right. Only reminded by small and easy to read numbers. we're back and we're here. It's Thursday. Welcome everybody to the show. I'm Scott and that's Brian. Hi, Brian. Good morning.
Hi, Scott. How are you? Happy Skyrim Day and happy Veterans Day.
Oh yeah, Veterans Day, Remembrance Day. That's a thing today. A lot of shows, podcast people that I know are taking it off. Like Tom, DTNS is not happening today, for example. Mm-hmm. They're
amateur.
Amateur.
That's why we're in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And Tom's not.
Yeah. Partly that, but also because those people kind of stopped doing that, didn't they? Didn't they stop? What are they doing now?
Yeah, I don't know. It's they did a new, like, they tried to create a new podcast academy.
Yeah.
And there was so much blowback from everybody that were in the Hall of Fame, the previous Hall of Fame. So it's like, oh, okay, so. Yeah, podcastacademy.com doesn't even, like, gives a forbidden error.
Uh-oh.
So I don't even know what's going on there.
Well, you know, this is the problem with the awards thing.
We decided to create a brand new baseball Hall of Fame and only have new.
Yeah, we're going to reset everything. Forget about that. Yeah, like the whole point of a Hall of Fame is that it's kind of permanent. That's the idea.
Yeah, exactly.
But, apparently they thought different.
2018... which featured The Art of Wrestling with Colt Cabana.
Great. Great.
Was the last one listed on here.
I don't even know who that
Dave
is.
Dave Jackson.
Should I know who that is? Is that a famous wrestler?
Keith and the girl.
Oh, Keith and the girl were involved? Okay. Keith, so Podcast girl. Alley back.
It was the same year that you were inducted.
Oh, that was that year. Okay. So wait, who's this wrestler?
I know
guy?
If you would have shown up
well,
to
yeah,
the Hall
if
of
I'd
the
a freaking,
ceremony, you would have seen these people.
If I'd have freaking been there. What was the... what's that wrestler's name again? Colt Cabana?
Colt Cabana.
Should I know who that is? Someone help me.
I have no idea who that is. Listen, you know when I heard about Jericho? is when I walked up on stage to accept my award from Jericho.
Oh, right. And the lady kept muttering, this isn't right. Who's this guy again? Yeah. What's
going on? Who's this funny hat guy? What's the funny hat guy doing up here?
Oh, that year, dude.
That was such a great year.
What was that, 2013, 14?
I can't remember. Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah, and we just collected every... Between you, me, Night Attack guys, and... was it the instance we kind of in FilmSec? I think we just cleaned up.
We had everything that we could qualify for. We won.
Yeah.
So if we were in a category, we won that category that year, and it pissed them off real bad.
It did. It was great because the guy from iHeartRadio, the head guy from iHeartRadio, came up to me after the thing.
Yeah.
Right. Came up to me after the event, and I'm sitting here with like 18 awards, and Mizzoula's taking pictures of me, like mock trying to carry them all.
Yeah.
And he comes up to me and he says, "Should I know you?"
Oh man, we could be on the iHeartRadio lineup by now. Damn it!
I know exactly. We could be giving medical advice to quarterbacks across the country.
Yeah, we didn't do anything weird. We won fair and square. We just really we just got everyone super excited and engaged.
What we did is we made it easy for our listeners who are huge fans of the stuff we produce.
Yeah.
We made it easy for them to vote for us. Yeah. We didn't stuff the ballot box. We didn't.
There were no multiple votes. There were no dead people voting.
We did the equivalent of helping get people to the polls who didn't have a way to get to the polls.
That's right. We picked up a bunch of old ladies and drove them down to the chapel.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
That's what we did. And it was great. And we did, we did really well. And that just about seismically changed everything about those awards. So
kind of did.
We left
turned
our
it mark. Turned it into a labor of not love for Todd Cochran.
No, labor of love. More of a labor of rare. All right, so
I don't know if I'd call it a labor of love after this year.
Oh, poor Todd. I guess he's still doing this. I don't know. Is there a
thing? I think he can't. I think he's having a hard time unloading the podcast award. Not unloading, but basically finding somebody who'll do it the way he wants them to do it. When was the last? There was the 2021 People's Choice Podcast, or the 2021 Podcast Awards happened, which. You know, one of the categories is named after me, so...
Yeah, the Coverville music.
You think that I'd kind of be aware. Is it still... Yep, there it is, the Coverville Pod Save Music category.
That's great.
I do like the fact that there's a new category called 2021 Podcast Influencer of the Year.
Mm. Yeah, I don't like that one.
No, here are your influencers: Amy Porterfield of Marketing Made Easy, Breen Brown from Unlocking Us and Dare to Lead, Kevin Smith from Smodcast, Tim Ferriss from the Tim, or as he types it on here, the Time Ferriss Show.
Yeah,
and finally your remaining podcast influencer of the year, Joe Rogan from the Joe Rogan Experience.
Got it. Well, yeah.
So now you can.
And I'm noticing, and the rule still stands, I guess, if you've won a bunch, they don't let you in anymore, right?
Yeah, we're legacy.
Yeah, they don't include us in anything anymore. Yeah. They don't like us. Todd does not like us.
Yeah, is he, I don't know if he's still, I'd be curious to see if he is still involved.
Yeah, he may not be running it, I don't know. But the fact that I hadn't heard about it at all means they didn't get the word out really very well. Because I didn't hear shit.
No, I know, for podcasters...
Yeah, all podcasters should hear it.
We had to look up the website to see if it still happened, and apparently it did.
Yeah, and even if you're legacy, you're not gonna grow your thing or gain interest in it or even get exposure for these small shows that win without everybody getting excited and getting stoked around it. And they have this weird insular thing going on. It's just weird. Mm-hmm. It's very weird. I mean,
they do have a bunch of new categories: best blank hosted podcast, so best male hosted, best female hosted, best black hosted, best Spanish hosted, and best Asian hosted podcast.
Nice. I know what I'm always doing.
Platform Apple Podcasts wins the podcast listening platform. This is interesting.
That's those categories though. Okay, not to be rude, but don't those categories sound like things no one cares about? I don't mean the Asian one and stuff, but I mean like best podcast app. Who cares?
Yeah, podcast listening platform. Yeah, it is. It does feel like a way to grease the palms of sponsors.
It's just unless weird.
I mean, Stitcher didn't win. Podcast Addict, Pandora,
yeah,
Overcast.
Well, Tally, they already have a What do they have in there? They have something.
Oh, they do have a LGBT category. Yes.
Right. They've had that for years. So I think this is new.
Because of who's won it so much, it's now called the Feast of Fools / Fun LGBTQ category.
Wow. See, Coverville, I get. It makes sense. Coverville, yeah, it's a famous music thing, but the, I don't know.
Right. Whatever. I do like this one, too. Rob has a podcast entertainment category.
Well, he did win a lot, so I guess.
He did win a lot, yeah. So he deserves to have his name on it, but it's just funny the way that that one comes out. Like, oh, Rob has a podcast entertainment category. Good for Rob.
Oh, D'Angelo Day Newman, you got me. Best Squarespace ad read of the year goes to. That's great. It's really good.
Oh, well, it certainly isn't going to be those ones you hear at the beginning of YouTube YouTube videos. They're like so nasal.
I really enjoy selling from my Squarespace account.
Listen, I know they'll be sponsors. They were sponsors at one point. They'll be sponsors again.
Oh, they're always Squarespace. Look, but, those guys have been
around
forever.
They need people with better microphones or better speaking ability for their pre-YouTube pre-roll ads.
Yeah, they also need to fix their tools are getting a little old, a little long in the tooth. Needs a refresh.
What if you could change the world with your mind?
Yeah.
What if telekinesis was real?
Yeah.
that's as much as I get through before that skip ads finally comes up. Yeah.
What if you could single-handedly change the world with one website? It's like, shut up. All right.
Hello, everybody.
We got a question here from a listener. This is from Kernickles, which sounds like Kernuckles, which is a character from a show that was on Cartoon Network. I forget the name of it. Mm. The something Adventures of Flip Flap or something. Anyway.
As old as I am, I think of Kinnicky from the movie musical Grease.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Oh, Flapjack is Tally. Thank you. It's the Amazing Adventures or Misadventures of Flapjack. And the character is Kernuckles, Captain Kernuckles. And he's this weird turd looking character who is played by the voice of Brian Doyle Murray, the old Murray brother. And he's great. He's a fantastic. It's a great show. Anyway, but Kernickles, which may be a reference to that, wrote in and says, "Hey, Starch and Brillo Pad." That's a new one. If you guys could pick one famous dead person to haunt your house, who would it be? Brian, who would you want haunting your house if you could say, "All right, well, so-and-so's dead. He'd be great walking the halls of my place."
First one that comes to mind is Marilyn Monroe. Mm. I'd like to have Marilyn Monroe come and haunt my house.
Oh, my gosh. Do you think what would she do? She'd sing to you while wind blows her skirt.
She'd
out
like
there.
Every day I'd wake up to "Happy Birthday,
Mr.
Coverville."
Chad says George Carlin. Claire
George Carlin would be great. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know who I'd want.
Bowie. Bowie would be interesting. As long Brian, as it's time for you to get up.
Get out of your bed, Brian.
Look, I'm making this pitcher of water float in the air.
Ground control to Brian's room.
I mean, John Lennon, I love John Lennon, and he's one of the people that, you know, if I could have dinner with any famous celebrity or any famous person alive or dead, John Lennon would be absolutely...
Be
in the top two or three of that list. Yeah. But as a ghost,
I might take
some, I don't know.
A comedian's not a bad idea. Like someone said Norm MacDonald. I think I agree with that. The only difference would be I'd have to keep him in a room and he couldn't come out.
You're Norm MacDonald is a ghost.
Yeah. I don't want Hey,
you think you're using enough toilet paper there?
Well, that's not a good ghost. Hold on, see if I can find a better ghost sound. Okay.
Oh,
no, tip, tap, tap, doop,
doop, doop, doop. Oh, jeez.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Well, that one's freaky.
That one's cool.
Whoa! Jerry Seinfeld. Check, he's not dead, though.
Check. There we go. Here's your ghost voice.
All right. Give us Norm.
Give us more Norm McDonald.
Yeah.
That's my go-to with Norm MacDonald, isn't it?
You think you put enough sugar in your coffee?
You get a little Letterman in that too. I can hear it.
A lot of Letterman in there, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what famous dead person I want. I really don't. Like, it'd have to be, okay, let's say it has to be somebody. I don't know. You know what?
Maybe tell OJ that Nicole Brown Simpson says hi. And thanks for killing me.
And then Paul Schaefer on the other thing go, like that. That'd be
exactly,
great.
Yes.
All right. Well, I have no idea. We don't know.
And Nicole Smith, that would be weird.
That'd be weird, right? I don't know if I want her hanging around.
Yeah.
I don't think I want any of them, actually, now that we talk about this. Why do I want any of this?
Well, maybe. I mean, you know, you have to have a ghost. You're obligated to have a ghost. Who's that ghost going to be?
Leonard
Nimoy. Feels like, yeah, you want somebody. You either want a comedian is a great idea, right? Because then you'd be cracking up with the stuff they're saying, unless they're a silent ghost, in which case that kind of sucks.
Right. Plus, you get sick of certain comedians. If you got, you know, a Rodney Dangerfield walking around going, I can't believe it. Like, you'd get tired of it all the time. There's always cold.
That's right. You don't want Sam Kinison as your ghost either.
Oh, my gosh, dude. No, that's a terrible idea. So, yeah, like, I don't know. You'd get tired of those people. Maybe I want somebody.
Maybe John Lennon's not a bad choice because he would really just want to kind of do his own thing.
Maybe, can't think of his name. Nelson Mandela. He'd have stuff to say. I could learn things from him.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Henson I could hang out with, I think.
Jim Henson, would he have ghost Muppets with him, too?
Oh, all the time, yeah.
Yeah.
But it'd be the two, it'd be Waldorf and Statler or whatever their names are.
Ghost versions of Waldorf and Statler.
From that Christmas movie going, where Marley and Marley, those guys.
Oh, J.C. Calhoun, well done. Just tell Lennon your name is Julian and he'll avoid you. Oh! Wow,
that's a deep cut. Oh, man.
That's hilarious.
Oh, what's Julian Lennon doing? Is he around?
He's definitely still around.
I mean, like, is he doing stuff? Oh, wow, he got old.
Yeah.
Haven't paid attention to him in a long time, so it's been a bit. Let's see here.
I think he's just kind of doing his own thing. He's certainly not... I don't think he's releasing any music. Doesn't sound like he is.
Pushing 60. Takes a lot of pictures of beautiful sunsets on his Instagram.
Cool.
Why is it telling me to look at Neil Diamond's account? that's great. Okay, fantastic.
All right.
Whoa, that's not Neil Diamond, is it? Holy shit. All right, that's a rabbit hole I didn't plan on going down, but Kernickles, your question clearly took us places. So
oh, yes, it
that.
Did. It took us some great places. Hope you enjoyed that.
Ben Franklin, that's not a bad one, but he'd want to talk about electricity and French ladies. That's all he'd want to do.
Yeah, I mean, of all your founding fathers, is there a better choice than Hamilton?
Oh, man.
Like, oh, are you going to play that soundtrack again? Oh, okay.
Maybe Washington, you know? Like, Washington would be cool. George Washington of the founding fathers. Yeah.
Lincoln.
Sure. Hold on, let me think. Well, I guess Washington's not. Is Washington technically. He's not a founding father. He wasn't. He was part of the signing or anything. Right? Do I have
I
that
think
right?
He was.
Was he?
Wasn't he?
Is George Washington signed the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and all that shit?
I thought he did.
Maybe he did. Yeah, we talk about all their slaves, exactly. We could really get into the contradiction.
No, actually, George Washington did not sign the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, I think he's just a general that everyone liked, so they put him in charge.
Yeah.
That's how that went. He has numbers up. We have moved the jury segment to now. Or you may actually be wondering where it is. You weren't here? We've already explained this. Justin is...
That's right. Alexander Hamilton didn't sign it either.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, mm-hmm. Lincoln would be all right.
Yeah, Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you'd be distracted by that hole in his head the whole time. Because I assume that's how
he's got a hat. He's got his little ghost hat.
Oh, okay.
And he could just put that over his head.
Because that's like nearly strangled Nick or whatever his name was in the Harry Potter things. Where
nearly headless Nick. Yeah,
nearly headless
Nick.
Nearly strangled.
Nearly strangled. You know, I don't feel so bad about... calling a Harry Potter spell like a caramel macchiato or whatever I did earlier this week or last week. So
yeah. Oh, you already, J.K. Grammer made that joke. Where'd you make that? I missed it. So all right, well there you have it. Just real quick, numbers up. Just you sounds like you missed it. Justin's got a crap ton of projects right now, and so his Tuesday segment is on pause. He's not doing it for a while. So we've shuffled things around so that all the days are covered, but nothing drastic or crazy or weird. He's he's doing fine.
We all love each other. There's no
there's no weirdness.
There's no feud. The details about the feud are grossly exaggerated.
We never have any drama outside you weirdos.
It's all you and your all caps bullshit.
That narrowed it down a little. And we also we really like you, Claire, so we're kidding. We're kidding. All right. Hey, got one more thing here on turkeys. I just got this from Twitter. An anonymous person. I won't say
their
name.
How can you be anonymous on Twitter?
Well, I don't want to give away who he is because this might
incriminate him. They'd like to remain anonymous.
Yeah. So I'm not going to use the name. They sent me a DM, so I'm just going to assume.
They slipped into your DMs.
It says...
Slid into your...
It was about our turkey talk yesterday, about turkey shortages or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'm not trying to cause a turkey panic, but I work in a grocery retail store. This will be a hard year for lots of stuff, not just turkey. If you want things for regular Thanksgiving, you can buy it now, but buy it now.
buy it now. I like that they say that twice.
I don't think I think what he's saying is do not wait until the week of Thanksgiving to get your stuff. So here's how I would look at this.
That's true.
I don't need 100% traditional turkey, you know, stuffing, all the shit you get. I don't need that every time. If it came down to it and things were a little tight and Kim said, hey, I'm going to make shawarma instead, I'd be all about it. Be fine. You don't care. The whole point is
I don't know.
Family and getting together.
I love
and
turkey, though.
Turkey's
great.
Yeah,
it's all about family, but this is like the time of year where you have turkey.
I love turkey. Don't get me wrong. Big fan. But it ain't the end of the world if you can't get a turkey, you know? I guess what I'm saying is make do with what you got.
Mm-hmm.
There've been, this could be the Great Depression where everybody had to eat part of their dog every year or whatever they did.
Well, it could be worse.
Yeah, it could be worse.
Yeah. One year my grandmother served us Cornish game hens for Thanksgiving.
How were those?
We each got our own Cornish game hen. You know, it's such a bony bird. It's like, it's a pain in the butt to eat. And you know, turkey legs are the great misleading drumstick of the bird world, because you think you're getting I'm getting a drumstick with all this great juicy meat, and then you get the first bite and it's like you got an umbrella with the cloth removed stuck under all that meat.
Yeah, it's weird. Those are not shards, what you think they're gonna be. So wait a minute, so a Cornish game hen, but in terms of the kind of bird or the kind of food it is, like, it tastes like a turkey? Does it taste like a chicken?
It tastes like any fowl. It's not as it's not as rich tasting as turkey, so it's probably somewhere between chicken and turkey.
Okay, so I could see that would get people by.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the point
is... I like the Abbey Cornish game hen. No,
Abbey Cornish.
That's a favorite.
A lot of meat on those legs. I don't know what that means. I made that up. I don't know. I don't know what that means. I have no idea. I'm not even positive who that person is.
She just unsubscribed. Damn it. We hooked her in with all of our fawning talk during the last film sack, and now she listened to TMS and she unsubscribed from
all of it. The girl from... Right. The Secret
Geostorm.
Service lady.
Yes.
Geostorm. Got it. Okay. The rapper. She's also a rapper.
Dusk. Yes, the rapper Dusk.
The rapper Dusk, everybody.
Oh, she came back. She came back when we started talking about started promoting her rap career.
Good. Here she comes. And the chicken tastes like wood.
Oh, there she's gone again.
Oh, shit. I just thought it was appropriate because we were talking about chicken, and now she's left again. Damn it.
And she's left again. Darn it.
All right. So who knows what people will do. We got a turkey for the family thing this weekend because we're doing it early.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing it'll be harder to get a turkey in 2 weeks. So,
at least you did. But see, that's the thing. I mean, you did it early, and you're going to get that turkey experience close enough to Thanksgiving that you could have shawarma or kimchi rice bowls or something like that on, yeah, on Thanksgiving would be fine.
Yeah.
I haven't had turkey since Christmas, Scott. I need turkey.
You do need some turkey. Get some turkey.
Need some turkey in my life. I just texted Tina, who's getting her shot as we speak, her booster, said, hey, while you're at King Supers, get a turkey.
Yeah. Oh, is that where she's at, is the King Supers?
She's right
the
there. Shot? Yeah, exactly. Okay. So.
Yeah,
she also is going to ask him if they can give me a shot, and I haven't heard anything back on that.
Oh, well, if she doesn't in that voice, you're in trouble. They're not going to.
Brian, you want to get your shot? Come on over. Don't do it right now. They got a vial all ready to go, locked and loaded. They put a post-it note on it with your name.
I don't know why that's so funny. It is, man. It's funny because it's not at all like her. well, anyway, so yeah, turkey, get it. Go and get it. And thanks for the inside knowledge there on Twitter.
Yeah, thank you.
We appreciate it. All right, let's do some news. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by...
Brought to you by the retail department store Lord and Taylor. No, not really. That's just happens to be who I'm going to be doing today's cover reel about. Lord... And Taylor Swift, Lord turned 25 last week, and Taylor Swift is like 31, but her birthday is always in the same month that I do the Coverville end of year stuff, so I haven't done a Taylor Swift cover story. So why not do these two together? So you'll get covers of Green Light and Royals and Tennis Courts and Team, as well as Bad Blood and Never Ever 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 Getting Back Together and I Knew You Were Trouble and other Taylor Swift songs.
Oh, yeah, the many other Taylor Swift songs. Sure.
The many other Taylor Swift songs. Yeah. All of this happening at 1 p.m. Mountain Time today, twitch.tv/Coverville. And I think instead of Guardians today, I'm going to do some Animal Crossing because that's a lot easier for me to do during a show. I can just stop harvesting something to advance the songs. If I'm in the middle of a fight, there's like a little bit of a blank space. Another Taylor Swift song between a couple of the tunes because I'm busy playing the game. So Animal Crossing today and Lord and Taylor Swift. Coverville, 1 p.m. Mountain Time, twitch.tv/Coverville.
Very nice. Hey, Claire, send me your spare recipes. I need them, too, if you have
some. No, she promised them to me.
Send them to me. To me, damn it. To me.
Ah, too late. She already sent them. I got them in my Nook mailbox.
Oh, damn it.
My Nook box.
Nook box. Brian did it all for the Nookie. The Nookie. I keep hearing that new Limp Bizkit's okay.
You know what? I'll take your word for it. More of it for everybody else.
I'm not even a fan. I don't like them, but I keep hearing, Scott, you got to hear this album. It's actually pretty good. And I'm like, really? I don't know, man. I haven't tried yet, but I keep hearing it's okay. All right.
Can you get past the Fred Durst Woodstock stuff?
Oh, it's hard
to enjoy Limp Bizkit.
It's hard, but also I have to look at it this way. He was what, like 24 then, and he's like 55 or something.
Dick back then.
I don't know. Like, I have some curiosity about it. I'm gonna listen. I'm gonna listen. It won't hurt me to listen. I'm just gonna listen to it and see what's up. But I keep hearing people saying, "Oh yeah, this new Limp Bizkit, it's good." And I'm like, really?
Yeah,
really.
I like the biscuits that aren't limp. I prefer the
non-limp
biscuits.
Well-cooked
biscuits.
Yeah. That's projection because he actually has a tiny biscuit.
I basically stole Benjamin's joke and did it in a Trump voice.
Oh, very nice. Benjamin.
I like the biscuits that aren't limp. You know who makes great biscuits?
Yeah. Who's that?
I can't think of anybody. I was like going to go Mrs. Fields or Pepperidge Farm, neither of whom makes biscuits.
Nope, they don't make biscuits. Well, they Pillsbury. Do if you're in Britain.
I love Pillsbury. Pillsbury's making biscuits.
If you're in UK, they call them biscuits if it's a cookie. Sure. Right? I've never understood that, by the way. Why the confusion on biscuits?
Biscuits
over there?
Are cookies. Yeah, exactly, in the UK. So they say when British Bake Off says it's biscuit week, I'm thinking, oh great, they're going to be just making grands and covering them with sausage gravy. It's like, no, they're cookies. Oh well, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in for cookies. I like me some cookies. So you can get that nookie and put it on
exactly.
Your
so what so Zoe, if biscuits are what you guys call cookies, then what are cookies to you? Like, is it something dirty like fanny packs and
oh right, good question. Is that like?
I'm curious. Like, is there a euphemism now that cookies become in the UK?
So Claire Gack says they have cookies and biscuits.
Yeah, pudding's another one. Pudding here and pudding there. Two different things.
Kissy bears. They're called crumbly wumblies. That's pretty funny. All right. I don't know what you people do over there. Yeah. Let's get to this first story. Unpacking. It's this new game. It's very good. It's on everything. It's on Switch. It's on... Well, it's not on PlayStation, but everyone else has it. It's on Xbox.
From the makers of Doing Dishes and Laundry.
Well,
the
game, you'd think.
Bring you Unpacking.
It's fascinating little game. It's like, it's on Game Pass. So if anyone out there has Game Pass, you can just try it for free. It's also on Steam, but it's basically this really beautiful pixelated world where you go into a room and in the room is a bunch of boxes and you need to unpack. Like literally you're unpacking. You open the box, you take items out. You organize them in the room. Eventually, the room's going to tell you if you've got something wrong or if you put something that's supposed to go in the kitchen and you put it in the bathroom by accident, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it sounds like something where 90% of the players have actual boxes that they're ignoring unpacking to play unpacking on Game Pass.
Totally. I was just saying, I don't remember what show it was on, maybe Boop or something, but over here there's a box that I can see from where I'm sitting that's been here since 2003 when we moved in. There's 2013, right?
And it's still...
It's still in the box. I haven't opened it. Or it's open, but it's just sitting there.
Let me ask you this, and I'm not at all poking fun at you, Scott, but you and I talked on Twitter and over text today about that sculpting program that you really like on iOS. Done anything more with the clay?
Yeah, I did. I got a whole little station over here. Oh, I haven't done anything with it, but I haven't sculpted anything, but it's out.
But you have the tools.
I have the tools. It's out. It's laying there. It's ready to rock. It's just there, you know? So yeah, like your point is taken. I should say that.
Hey Brian, if I send you one of these STL models that I do in Sculpt, can you 3D print it? Yes. Or you could actually sculpt something with your clay and have it immediately.
Well, the idea there was, hey, if I can print it, it's a good point. The problem is this stuff is, you know, this is what, plasticine, so it's not going to, it's not permanent, so I don't know.
Oh, you can bake, can't you bake plasticine and make it permanent? Yeah, or does it take it crack somewhere?
Well, plasticine will just melt. You're thinking of like that Sculpey stuff, I think you can.
Oh, Sculpey is exactly what I'm thinking of. Yes, never mind. Yep.
This is a big old chunk of good old fashioned plasticine. You know, oil-based clay. That's, I think, never goes anywhere. But anyway, what was my whole point? Oh, okay, so Unpacking. It's this game. It's a very fun little puzzle game. It has a neat little story behind it because it takes time. It takes place over time. And the character that you're playing, you never meet or see, you're just learning about them through the kinds of things you're unpacking for them. And it goes from like 2000 to 2004 to 2008. And then the next house is like 2012. And you see their life evolving, like they are becoming an adult, and you know.
So there's more of a story than just
there is.
U-Haul dropped this crap off on my front door. Put it away.
Yeah, basically, it's world building, and they're not telling me. You know, they're not reading or speaking or saying anything. It's being told visually. It's like, okay, this is where my life is now. This is someone else's razor. I've moved in with someone. Like, it's just an interesting kind of way of telling a story. And apparently, according to Patrick, by the end of this thing, you're almost in tears. And I don't know why. I haven't gotten there.
There was a game I recommended on AppSlappy like that, where you're viewing things in a family's house and you change the perspective of the house to see new things.
What was that
called? There was a really sweet, heartbreaking story as part of that, too.
Yeah, it's a lot like that, actually. It's a little more focused on the mechanics.
I really enjoyed that, so now I feel bad about making fun of packing.
Yeah, look at all this.
I feel horrible.
Well, don't feel bad. It's available to everyone to play. So here's the thing.
Okay.
This part of the story, or the reason I tell you all that is just background so you can kind of understand it. Here's what's funny, though. This is what's going on. Some younger fans of the recently released puzzle game Unpacking are having trouble with a level, and it's not because they're bad at the game or the level is a particularly tricky solution. And if I'm correct, I think this is the 2004 level. Okay. It's because some of those fans don't know what a GameCube is, and they keep putting it in the kitchen. Because the game has
to their credit or whatever, it does look like a blue rice cooker.
It does. It looks just right at home on a kitchen counter. Totally. And what's funny is the game's full of this stuff. It's not, they don't show names of brands of things, but it's clearly a GameCube. There's clearly a 360. There's clearly a PS2. You have a Game Boy Advance. There's a original Game Boy. There's, you know, all these different things and a bunch of stacks of games you can even recognize just by looking at them, even though it's pixels. You can kind of go, oh, I think that's Mario Kart. But they're not overertly saying any of that. The problem is that GameCube, if you're too young or you've just never experienced one, it doesn't look like something that belongs in the living room.
It doesn't. No, it does not look. And it would help if they just put a controller with it.
Yeah.
Because you've got the four ports. Just put a little controller sitting on top of it. There you go. It makes sense.
Well, and the controllers are there. They're just separate.
Oh, there. They're just separate. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So you don't really know what those things go to. Now, the advantage to me is I know what it is. But secondarily, the controllers are the same controller. They're a blue GameCube. Mm-hmm. There's a picture there, chat, you can see. So sitting it right next to that rice cooker, that looks like it might go in the kitchen.
Yeah, the silver one.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him.
But actually, that screenshot's a good example of the game, how it looks. It's very detailed, but it's still bitmap like pixel stuff.
Right.
I love the look of the game. It's very cool. Anyway, poor kids. They don't know what the hell that thing is. Let's see.
We need to.
Oh, there's a post from a kid. Hold on. I have to click this. All right. So some kid actually posted trying to get help. And says, I'm having a hard time figuring out what this is and where it goes. Please help. And then there's another one that says, what is this? And why can't I put it in any of my rooms? Yeah, people just don't know what the hell that is. But I do. It's got a handle on it.
It's really funny.
Yeah, GameCube was
great. It's cool looking, though. I like that. I mean, yeah, we look at that and say, oh, clearly a GameCube. But I think if I were even to show that to Tina, she'd probably think bread maker or rice cooker or...
Yeah, because it does look like some kind of cooker.
It's got a clear thing on top so you can see how far something is cooked.
Yeah, it's a little too high tech for 2004 rice cooker looking, but kids don't know the difference. They don't know. They're kids.
Yeah.
Genie, you've never heard of a GameCube before? Really? The Nintendo GameCube from Nintendo. Makers of GameCube. You've never heard of that? Oh, she's a non-gamer.
Well, I'm just not a gamer.
Man, I'm just surprised. It just seemed like an iconic... it was an iconic box, man. I don't know. Maybe I'm... See, look, this is an example of me being too much in my world, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, I think it doesn't look like any other game machine. Every other game machine is kind of more like a flat-looking console, either with... either just flat that you can put other things on top of, or you look at the old Atari and the ColecoVision and it's like, all right, it looks like, you know, this flat surface. It looks like an appliance. I get it. I totally get it.
The 360 in the game also looks weird if you've never seen one. But
like, if you were to ask me right now to draw a Virtual Boy, I don't think I could do one. I don't think I could.
I couldn't either. I'd probably recognize it, but I couldn't draw it. Like if someone showed it to me,
I'd recognize it, but yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and mostly I'd know it from it being red. If somebody painted it green, I'm not sure I'd know. I might think, oh, what's this weird VR headset? Oh, it's a
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, all right. It's a cool game, though, everybody. Story aside.
Unpacking.
It's a rad little thing.
Listen, you've already got me back into Animal Crossing. Take your wins.
I'll take my wins where I can get them. Yeah, that's right.
All right.
I wasn't sure you were going to. I thought it was going to be a longer haul to get you to check it out again.
Yeah, we'll see.
we'll see after today.
If I get in and all of a sudden it feels like work, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out, Scott. I'm out.
It might feel like work. I don't know. All I know is this. I found this by myself. I didn't have to look it up or nobody told me. There's a new Nook Miles recipe. Did I maybe mention this yesterday? Anyway, you can buy the recipe. You learn it.
Is the shed?
Yes, the shed. Did I talk about the shed?
Oh, my God. We talked about the shed for half an hour yesterday.
I couldn't remember who I talked to about that. I've talked to a lot of people.
Everybody is who you talked to. Yeah.
Anyway, I learned something new about that shed. So the shed is very cool. On your island, anywhere you're at, it acts as the thing I mentioned. It's a portal to your home inventory to put things in or take out. It's great. So if you're full up on stuff while you're out in the neighborhood, chuck them all in there and then keep working. However...
Is there a freezer in that shed where I can store the sea otter that doesn't give me pearls.
That guy's such a weenie.
Knocked him out and put him in the freezer in the shed.
The one that looks like Cheech Marin. I love that guy.
Yeah.
So the deal is this, though. It doesn't work on remote islands when you fly out there with your Nook Miles.
Oh, so, I thought it did. I thought you were saying like you could.
I did too, but it doesn't. If you go to, you can place it, but it places it like the little leaf shape.
Right. Where you, yeah. Where
and it makes like, sense because if you're out there and you're farming it and you get it all barren and now it's full of spiders and now you're going to farm spiders all night, you'd never leave. You just farm spiders until you're the richest person on the planet. Mm-hmm. So it makes perfect sense that you can't do it. But it still annoyed me slightly because I want to have that closet everywhere I go. but at the co-op island on Harv's Island, you unlock a turtle guy that will basically do this for you. So it works as the closet. And I'm just starting over there. Brian, there's a lot of new stuff. It's all work, though. It's all work. None of it's...
Is it... how good is the game about like letting you know all the new stuff so you can... Like a little mini tutorial for those of you who only played us while you had COVID.
Yeah.
Here's how you get back into the game. Like a little tutorial.
I mean, they remind you... they remind you of the new stuff, but they don't really. And all your villagers are like, we haven't seen you in a year, and you know stuff like that. But you kind of are thrown back in.
Okay, good. All right,
in the deep end.
There's an app on
Claire's
my phone.
Mad that I'm not remembering the name. Oh yeah, there is an app on your phone. A new app. Okay. Cool. Claire's doing what a lot of people do. People get really sensitive if you don't know the exact name of these Animal Crossing characters.
Right.
I don't understand that. Like, yeah. People live when I come up with a name for a Pokemon I forgot the name of. They're fine with it. They're like, oh, you're talking about so-and-so. But if I say that turtle-looking guy, it's Tortimer! You need to get his name straight! It's like, oh my gosh, we're taking these characters a little too seriously here.
Listen, I change their names anyway. So it's like, you know, my island, I've got Baboon, who only likes pink shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's yeah.
There you go. See, but that's fine. You told me all I need to know about Baboon.
About that Baboon. Yeah. Now when you have some pink stuff, you just go and sell it to that or that's give it right. to that Baboon.
That's right. Also, I'm in love with the little coffee shop you get in this update. And
little coffee shop. Good.
I
created my own coffee shop. I made a stand and I got a espresso maker and I put it on that stand and I printed up a little design for the awning above the stand to look like a little coffee thing.
Because here's the problem. Brewster just Walmarted your ass out of town is what
totally
he did.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I'm a family owned bookstore.
Yeah.
And
Barnes and Noble just destroyed
Brewster
you.
Is Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. You're exactly right. And they, what's cool is I just discovered this yesterday. I was up there getting a coffee cause you can do that. And after you've done that a number of times, he'll say, hey, by the way, if you ever want coffee to go, just go up to the little to-go counter and I'll send you with one. And now I can walk around with a hot little brew.
That's cool. All right.
And you can sip it twice. If you sip it once, you get, you know how you used to eat fruit to dig up trees?
Yeah. And you get strong stuff.
Yeah. Now you get two per sip of the coffee because it's strong coffee. See?
It'd be great if when you drank the coffee, it made you run around your island really fast.
That would be awesome. Give me triple speed or something.
Yes.
Oh, I would love that. All right. It's a good time. That game's a good time.
By the way, if things get quiet during Wendy's segment, I'm totally not playing Animal Crossing. And don't have your Nintendo on. And if you see Brian just logged on, it's Tristan's borrowing my Switch now.
Yeah,
so.
We'll know. We'll know just from that what's going on. Yeah. It's all Tristan. Yeah. We always blame him. Yeah. All right. I think that's it for now. We're going to take a break.
Because this next article you have in here is exactly what we talked about with Bobby. So you can get rid of
we can get rid of that one, right? That's the exact story. Oh, I still had it as a carryover, and I just never put two and two together that Bobby talked about it.
Right. Shoujo, I got to come check out your island. Shoujo always had the best island that I ever saw in Animal Crossing, and I'll bet with all this new stuff.
Oh, without a doubt. She's the queen of island decoration and
island
stuff.
Island life, yeah.
I'm sure she's a full 5-star. Oh, you know what's great? Mention this.
Yeah.
To unlock that closet, you got to pay $500,000 a Nook because Nook gets his, right?
Sure, which I probably have it.
You probably have, but I didn't think I had it. So I'm like, I got to keep working. Then I remembered that thing has a bank, and I thought, did I put a bunch of my turnip money in the bank? Went over and checked the bank. 6 million bells! Woo! I can afford everything.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. Nice. I forgot I did that. I tucked it all away, and there it was. All right, we're going to take a break when my sister gets here, or after this song, my sister will get here, and we're going to talk about a thing. And I think it's a very relatable thing, so stick around for that. Right after this break, brought to you by Brian and his musical findings.
Yes. Oh, this is one I'm super excited about because this is an artist that is not brand new to me, may not even be brand new to you guys as well, especially if you've listened to Coverville, because I've played Yumi Zuma before. She's from New Zealand, which means that that has to be her real name, Yumi Zuma. No, it's a band. It's not a person. I guess it's a group, so never mind. It's their band name.
Okay.
It feels like it should be somebody's real name. Anyway, they're a pop quartet, Yumi Zuma. And this is their second single they've released this year, but this one's so good. It's called Mona Lisa. It's just released as a single, no upcoming album to go with it. But they are going to be touring the U.S. starting in April of next year, starting in Brooklyn, New York, at the Music Hall of Williamsburg. Go check them out. This is Yumi Zuma and the brand new song, Mona Lisa.
Think about your dog and its health, or his or her health. You know, like you're sitting around going, man, my dog's awesome, sure like my dog to be more healthy. Well, did you know that feeding your dog with foods made from cricket protein uses less land and water to produce? Yeah, it's true. It drastically eliminates greenhouse gases And compared to traditional animal protein, dog food, that's a big difference. Meet Jiminy's nutritious and sustainable food and treats for your dog made with cricket protein and other delicious plant-based ingredients like sweet potatoes, peanut butter, flax, oats, that kind of stuff. Insect protein is truly sustainable as a protein source. And it's way better at like land use and feed conversion supports this. In addition, less water and almost no greenhouse gases. 1 5-ounce bag of Jiminy's treats saves 220 gallons of water versus traditional animal protein types. Holy crap. If you have an average-sized dog, switching from chicken-based diet to an insect-based diet, that saves 480,000 gallons of water per year. That's a ginormous difference. Anyway, it's good food for food-sensitive dogs with allergies. Insect protein is considered hypoallergenic. It's a great food source in that regard. Beef, chicken, lamb, soy, even fish are often the common ingredients that dogs have their allergies triggered by. So, do what veterinarians do. They're already using Jiminy's and elimination diets to determine food allergies. So, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get it. Why? Because my dogs love it. And if my dogs like stuff, I pretty much feel like every dog's going to like it. We have two dogs right now, and they eat this stuff up, literally. To learn more and save 20% on your first purchase, go to jiminys.com/TMS and use the code TMS20 at checkout. That's jiminys.com/TMS with that code TMS20. Do it today.
I am the architect. I created the Matrix. I've been waiting for you.
Do not drink Red Bull right before bedtime.
I lost my daughter to the abyss, but tonight I'm calling her back. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back, everybody. Hey, Brian, remind me that song again.
Well, that song you just heard is Yumi Zuma and the brand new song Mona Lisa. They are from New Zealand, and they are super cool.
Yumi Zuma sounds like one of those artificial ladies that are big in Japan, like the robot CGI ladies.
Right, like AI things.
Yeah, they get up and perform. What's that? There's one, a very popular one, where she gets like millions of people come and see her in concert. And she's
her name is Mina Savari.
There you go.
No, I'm kidding. Nailed it. What is her name? It's something like that. Mayu Hattori?
Oh, Hatsumiku.
Hatsumiku, that's right. Yep.
Thank you. And Art Chicken, Art and Chicken.
Yep, yeah, that's totally pretty cool. Yeah, like a completely generated, not just an avatar with somebody else singing, but even the song that became a hit single was completely computer generated. Like,
oh, I didn't know that.
Like a machine learning single, and it went well.
I did not know that. I knew. Yeah. So when they show her at the concerts and stuff,
I have like it. If you want to play a second or two,
yeah,
of it.
Pop it in there. But she's like a projection, right? She's like a hologram.
Yep, exactly. When you see her in concert, it's that's exactly right.
That's either awesome or a sign of I don't know what it is.
Here we go. Let's put it in our Discord.
Yeah, stick it in Discord. I'll play it there.
Will it fit? Oh, good.
Is it small enough?
It just went there.
This 8 meg limit.
Oh, I have to hit enter. Enter. There you go. Enter.
Oh, you hit enter, did you? Okay, here it is.
This is a cover, by the way.
All right, I'm gonna just play some of this. Oh, it's a cover of something?
It is.
All right, here we go.
Also, this one isn't. Yeah.
Oh. So that's voice is not a person at all, right?
It's, nope. That is not a real person singing that.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
It's actually kind of good.
Yeah, I also have a cover that she did of Heaven is a Place on Earth by Belinda Carlisle.
Really?
Here you go.
Belinda Carlisle? That's wild to me.
Yes, this one's in English, so you get... it's great, too. Actually, you'll like this.
All right, I'm going to play a little bit of this here. I'm going to skip ahead.
Oh, no, start at the beginning because you get... It begins with vocals.
Oh, okay. Here we go. So why did they give her such an accent? That seems odd to me.
Well, it's a Japanese accent.
No, I know, but it's really pronounced. There's plenty of J-pop singers who don't have that pronounced of an accent when they sing. So why did they go that far I don't know.
I don't know, but it does remind me of KK Slider as we're talking about Animal Crossing.
Oh yeah, a little bit.
It's just borderline, you know, gibberish, simlish JJ or KK Slider kind of stuff.
I love it. All right. Well, that was a fun. We've had a lot of fun misdirections today. We've got all kinds
of
places.
Lots of rabbit holes to explore.
Yeah, it's your typical Thursday business. All right, we're going to get Wendy on the phone. She's been waiting very patiently, I believe. And we'll see what's up with her. Although it's I'm just getting the rings of ringage here.
Mm.
Let's see if we can't achieve some rings of speakage. Hello. Oh, hello, Wendy.
Hey.
Oh, hi. Hold on. I got to play your thing. Everyone knows it's Wendy. Look who it is. It's my sister, Wendy. She lives all the way across the country. Not that far, but kind of far in Minnesota. Not here in Salt Lake City anymore. We miss her. We feel it every day. Every day is a loss.
Yeah. Every day.
Every stinking day. Are your kids are home today because it's Veterans Day, right? So probably in the middle of momming and things today. I hope we're not bugging you.
No, they had Friday off. I think that was their deal.
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't actually know. Are they around? Are they at home? Or are they at school?
No, they're at school.
Oh, okay. Weird.
I think we get the entire week of Thanksgiving off.
Yeah.
So I think they kind of try to, I don't know.
They can
combine
honor,
days. It's smart. It really helps the way they do it. I appreciate it. But
they can honor those veterans at school. Everybody at school can honor the veterans together.
All right. That's what's going on.
Yeah. How about that? Hey, it's good to have you here. Wendy comes on the show as an actual therapist. And helps us with people's real problems each and every Thursday. And we've been doing this since 2011, 10 years ago. Well, it'll be 10 years. No, it's been 10. We're almost 11
so
years.
Long.
Weird. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and dive right in. We got an email from a listener who I will keep anonymous. They didn't actually ask me to, but I will because I didn't know. I always err on that side. If you guys send these in and you say, you know, please keep it anonymous, then I absolutely will. If you don't say anything, then I will also do that. So if you are okay with your name being read, just say so. Because the default is we try not to out you. Yeah. But anyway, let's get right into it. This is one I think is, I don't know, kind of related to some stuff we've talked about in recent episodes of the show as well, or Therapy Thursdays. But anyway, it's a unique situation. Staying in a job that you hate out of necessity is the subject. I am a high school teacher, says this listener, in a very low educational quality area, i.e. my kids don't like school, thinks high school is pointless because most of them are going to go into farming, etc. And as a result, they don't make it easy to teach / manage a classroom. Now I have a silver lining as a lifelong dream of going to med school is going to be fulfilled at the end of this academic year. I got my acceptance a month ago. But continuing to stay in this job out of necessity for my wife and child to be a provider over the next 8 months will be a massive chore. I dread getting up and going in the morning because no matter what I do to try to connect with these kids, they just seem to be turned out and feel completely undervalued with my efforts as a result. The days seem like months and the months like years. Part of it, I realize, is that this time of year is really hard on people because of the holidays. And our school hasn't had a break, even a long weekend, since Labor Day, which was what? That was September?
September. Yeah, yeah, beginning of September.
That is a long time. Part of it is probably because coworkers are now saying that I'm a bad teacher, which I assume is because of the fact that I am now leaving. And even more so on my personal end, my wife is pregnant, so I have even more responsibilities at home with our two-year-old and helping keep up on the housework. I am a perfectionist, so I always try my best, even knowing that I will be out of here in a year. But the thought of continuing to pour all of my attention and thought into something that is receiving no positive outcome for the next 8 months puts knots in my stomach. With all of that said, I will continue to make the best out of it, but I was just wondering if there are any tips or tricks to cope with the coming months / longer for those that may not have that silver lining like I do on the horizon. Thanks again for allowing the chance to discuss this. Hope to hear from you guys soon. Okay.
Man, that's tough with the other teachers talking smack about you. I thought it should be like a band together. We're all in this together kind of thing. And
yeah, they should be excited for you. I would hope.
That hurts me hearing about that.
I don't like that part either. It bugs me. But also I like that he accepts this idea toward the end here that there are plenty of people in his exact situation that don't have the silver lining. I think that's an important thing to acknowledge. And don't know why, but that gives me some hope in humans. But anyway, so Wendy, where do you want to go with this? He's in a place he hates. He knows he's out soon, but boy, howdy, is it rough. And what's he going to do? And he's there out of necessity, obviously. He'd probably quit if he could. But what do you? Where do you want to start with this one?
Okay, have you guys seen... It's an art installation somewhere. I should really look it up before I talk about it. But it's a forced perspective kind of thing where you're looking through. It looks like kind of like an iPad. And as you look directly through the iPad at the image in front of you of like artworky, it's like material or something. It looks like this really cool face.
Yeah.
And then the camera pans to the side and it is just a pile of junk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love that kind of
stuff. And they do this with like weird clothes and colors. And like, you know, you've seen it before,
like
right?
Stuff like that.
Yeah. It's all a person. It's like that dragon that turns its head on. It's kind of like that too. Like that big dragon face.
And this is what's amazing about this one in particular is just, it is literally garbagey. It looks like a hoarder house tipped over. Like it's not, I don't know. Sometimes you feel like it's furniture. I don't know. Things that don't look as bad from the side, but this looks so bad from the side. Mm-hmm. It just looks like a hot mess. And I think that's, it's, you know, a human experience to look at something from one angle, see it for what you think it is. And it's pretty hard for us to move around the side of it and look at it from a different angle. Right. Mm-hmm. And so when I hear this email, I think, I mean, this is a person who has really cared about these kids and has not been given maybe the support, the training, the camaraderie, the you know, good colleagues or whatever to make a difference. Also, just straight up, you can't expect kids to not have a break for 3 months and be doing awesome.
Yeah.
Even a day or even so, like introducing half a day where kids get to make up, you know what I mean? Something, right? Like that sounds like a not an awesome situation. Anyway, so here he is in that type of scenario and not getting that support. But he's also like, I'm going to live my dream and I'm going to go to med school and has obviously taken the MCAT and applied previously and, you know, done all the things to get to this place. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
So then the question he gets to is, you know, or the thing he's struggling with is he's got a whole school year left and he needs to get himself there. He's dreading it. So let's just talk about what that might be. And then we're going to use the forced perspective shift as a framework to talk about it. But
all right.
What is it that is happening? So again, all the maybe not good supports are in place, but from a psychological standpoint, we've all been here to some extent. We have to finish something we don't want to do. We have, and usually a silver lining is actually why you're suffering more, right? Everyone else, you think, I like that you think it's being nice, but what I think it is actually is that having his dream around the corner makes doing this slog really tough.
Yeah.
Whereas someone else who has no plan to leave is, they're not in the same brain state.
No, it's like having the clock as you're watching it for summer vacation to come, right? It's like it slows down every day feels.
And not even monstrous. That. And to add to that time dilation, if everyone around you isn't looking forward to that, they see you as trunky and ineffective and also giving up. And why do you think this is cooler than what we're doing? We're, you know, I could see why all those mixed emotions would be there as well.
Totally.
Yep. Well, and also you may think, oh, they're jealous that I have some awesome gig coming up. It also might just be that they don't like that you're walking away from something that matters to them. Right. And then there's going to be a few who are jealous. Sure. Mm-hmm. I want to be, but more than not, teachers feel called to do teaching. They rarely are just like, you know what? I'm in it for the money. That's not happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway. And so that can be part of that grumpiness. And also you might be inviting some of that grumpiness without like intending to, just because you are really unhappy being there and the sort of getting through to the end is tricky. Okay. So with the forced perspective, you're looking at it at this point, you're looking at all the trash. You are not looking at it from the other direction where you see the face. And that's because you now have an option to not look at it at all. And that can sort of just switch people's brains a little bit. Okay. So what would you guys suggest And maybe you've been in a similar circumstance where you've got to just sort of slog through the end of something. And you know, what have you done? Do you have any suggestions of how to keep your chin up or do a good job, even though you just can't?
I mean, Brian, yeah. I think you had that recent, you had a recent job, like side job client thing that was just a nightmare. Was it, is that,
it was, kind of thing? Yeah, but that wasn't like a, this will end at a certain date and time and I just have to get through it. It ended as soon as I finally finished making what it was. Yeah. I'm thinking more like, you know, when I finally decided I was going to, quit the full-time job to do freelance and podcasting full-time, there was a little bit of that where it was, all right, you know what? I'm just going to, put in my next 3 months and then be done. And those 3 months did feel like forever. It was like, oh man, another tech support nightmare I have to deal with, or another, you know, this or that. And that did feel like this kind of slog, because I really wanted to get to the thing that I was excited about.
Yeah. I've had a few things like that as well, but most of the time it feels like it's the one wrinkle for me is I do get past a thing, but then I can't wait till I'm really past it, like distance of time and space. Mm-hmm. Like for me, it was like, I don't want to get into the nitty gritty, ugly details. Well, you know what? We'll use this Blizzard thing as an example. This Blizzard mess was a clear, you know, it was very clear how I felt about it, how everybody felt about this, you know, this mess at Blizzard Entertainment and the impact it had on me and everybody around the community that sort of makes content around in and around Blizzard content. And the entire time it was like, all right, well, I know what this is and I know what my response is going to be and what I'm going to do. But now I just need to have it get behind me, like further away from me, the better. And that seems to take forever for it to just not be the hot burning flame in the room that it was and still is in some ways. And so I don't know if it's not the exact same, because the silver lining isn't really all that silver. It's more just like, you know, we need to make whatever decisions we're going to make, and then we need to move past this and go
right
and support those who need help during it and be there for the, you know, for all the right reasons and proactive stuff. Sure. But I just mean like get away from the mess of it. Think of it as any other not disaster, because it's not really the same, but like if there is a big natural disaster, if a hurricane hit your town, you know what's in front of you and what you have to do, and you really just can't wait till you're 3-4 years down the road when this stuff is cleaned up, fixed, and you've kind of gotten past it. I feel like that's more my experience than
Well, and in maybe both of your cases, there's like a thing you need to end, or you want kind of the bad part to end, and that's where this is similar. Of course, he wants to move to the dream. Mm-hmm. And has to get through 8 months of some bad stuff. Well, the bad stuff is that he's not connecting with these students. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so this is where the question becomes, why would it be important for him to have something from this next 8 months that feels good, solid, or whatever, before he moves on to a next career? A lot of people like to just burn it down. Like, I don't care anymore. Right, and there's usually
senioritis kind of thing.
Yeah, totally senioritis. And there's a reason is because it stops feeling as meaningful or whatever, but then it also helps with grief. Mm-hmm. We remember we're not very good at grief. And so if I can care less, then I don't have to grieve as hard. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is kind of the opposite of, my suggestion is the opposite of this, which is sort of to lean into understanding why this matters to him. Like if this were a job he didn't care about, he would not have written us this email. He'd be like, well, I taught for a time and now I'm in medical school. Peace out.
Yeah.
It's that it does matter. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying it's going to go haunt him into his medical career, but I do think there is a lot of power to do some, I guess proactive work when you're in a setting and not then not have to do it after the setting. If that makes sense. Maybe it's because, you know, in therapy, we're always working with things that had happened and people's regrets about what they didn't do or wish they had done or said or didn't say. And that you're in the actual slog of that moment, you know, you can do something about it. Mm-hmm. So my question would be, why do you care? Why do you care about teaching? Why do you care about these kids? Mm-hmm. Is this really about you, that you're good or not at this? Because there's a lot of hinting in there that, you know, he can't connect. He's feeling judged by other people.
Right.
You know, and maybe kids just smell that on you. I don't know.
Right. Or they smell fear. Or they smell.
Yeah.
Kids are pretty smart with
anticipation
that,
of getting out. Yeah. I feel like, you know, really depends on the person. I'd probably, because I'm a little bit competitive, I would probably be motivated to really connect with the kids in those last few months. But I think that's not because I care about the kids as much as it's I'm competitive and I don't want those other teachers talking bad about me. But,
right. Right. So some of it is just like a deeper dive into your own stuff. And I'm going to tell you right now, future doctor, please do some of your work, because there's a lot of doctors who do none of this. Mm-hmm. And man, do they have challenging things they provide to people. What I mean is, so here's something cool that's coming up. You know how I love to get behind a little VR to build empathy in people, but there is some training that's happening in medical schools where using VR, they have you go, the doctor comes and practices their bedside manner with a patient, talks through a case, tells someone they have cancer, whatever, you know, the practice is. And then it's recorded from the perspective of the patient. And then the doctor can put on the VR set and see themselves, talk to them about their diagnosis and critique how they come across to themselves. Mm. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of freaky on one hand. Like, you kind of don't want to know exactly how you're talking to yourself. But anyway, some of that, because there is a challenge. There's a challenge when, and medical school will try to destroy your soul. That's kind of how it's built in some ways. And it's really tough. You do not get the time with patients you think you're going to get. You don't get some of the things you may hope by being a guy in medicine that maybe you're banking on. And you have to figure out how you are going to be you in this new industry. And maybe you haven't figured out how you're you in teaching. And so maybe I'm making a more of an existential threat than is here. But I just do think there's value, and you've got 8 months. Make the most of this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Figure out what's really happening for you. Grieve what you need to grieve. You know, face that maybe your ego is a little sore from this, and then work on what your ego is about. And, you know, it's like a gift. It really is. And or you slog through it and then go to medical school. You know, there's always that choice. Mm-hmm. But I do think there's some profound options and lessons that might be available to this person that they wouldn't see coming. And as soon as med school starts, good luck having 5 minutes to think again, right? Yeah. Like, this feels like a gift you might end up wasting feeling sorry for yourself, or not even feeling sorry for yourself, but just like it's hard. I'm not saying it's not hard. I am not, but I am saying you can focus on that and just want to get out. And maybe there would be a really cool chance to do some of your own work beforehand, just to make sure. It's just that, you know, you're changing careers. That's fine. That's usually no big deal. But there's enough in here that tells me, you know, how you are perceived matters to you, how you connect or don't connect feels like a thing. You know, maybe there's some exploring and curiosity you could take to this.
I would be one of the things I don't like in life most is when people, when they, how do I put this without it sounding weird? I don't want it to sound weird, but I
don't let it sound weird.
I guess what I'm saying is I have this tendency sometimes, I'm sure everybody does, this feeling of it's always greener on the other side. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that isn't, in his case, it isn't. It sounds like it probably is going to be greener in the long haul. That's not what I mean, but there, you can get caught up in these loops of, well, when I'm there, it'll all be better. And my experience has always been, it's usually not necessarily better, or that there's no guarantee of anything. It's all about your attitude, your willingness to do whatever you have to do to make it right for you or whatever. Like, there's more to it than just, you know, well, next door is greener. Well, not necessarily. There's probably worms in their grass. Who knows? I don't know. Like, it's not, it's also not good to start assuming everything is browner on the other side.
Right.
Using the yard metaphor, the grass metaphor, but do you know what I'm saying? Like, there is that problem. Some people get into that rut of, well, this next house is going to be the right house. This next job is going to be the right job. I'm just sure of it this time, but there've been like 5-6 others of these. And again, this isn't him. Doesn't sound like him,
no, but I worry. There's a common thing.
Yeah. I just worry that when he gets there, it's not going to be, certainly isn't going to be easier in terms of work, because now it's, you know, like you said, his brain's going to bring up another chance to relax again until he you know, graduates or does whatever he's going to do. And it's just going to get more complicated because his wife's going to have another baby. You got a 2-year-old already. So you got a baby and a 2-year-old and, you know, and a mom to help and all that. And, you know, it's going to be, the grass isn't going to be greener. It's just going to be grass. And what you make of that grass will depend on how you feel when you get there. And if you want to water that grass, hey, you want to cut that grass, you want to not leave the car on the grass. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know why that's jumping out at me, but for some reason, the grass is always greener is making an appearance in my brain today.
Totally. And I think there's some processes here that explain this phenomenon. And that is that humans are very bad predictors of future outcomes. Meaning you are going to assume you're happier and you will be wrong. You're going to assume it'll be harder and you'll be wrong. You're going to whatever you're going to guess about the future comes from, going back to our amygdala conversations the last couple rounds, you know, is could be fear-based, and then it's going to be inaccurate because you're not going to die by speaking in front of a group of people, though your brain has told you you're going to die. So that prediction will never be right, you know,
right.
Or whatever. And then the sort of positivity bias can jump in too, which is a strange phenomenon because we're pretty negatively biased as humans to protect ourselves. But there is this, it is still protective. It's like, it'll be so much better than this. And that's because we know what this is. And so the real challenge is to be present with this, whatever it is right now. If you can do this, then you can do whatever comes in the future, because that future will then be present again. Right.
Right.
And that's what's so hard about, you know, mindfulness meditation and training people to get present and be in the moment in their lives is our brains don't want to do that very easily. But the power of that is that everything is sort of doable. And it's not, you know, your system isn't freaking itself out to try to keep you safe. So, for example, a really important question for this person to ask himself is why is the kids not connecting with him matter so much to him? Mm-hmm. What's that about?
Yeah.
Because, and digging into that, because one day you're going to have patients who don't also connect with you. Like, wouldn't it be more fun to work on this now? The present moment problem.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to show up later. It always does. Whatever is happening right now in anyone's life, the only thing we can predict is that thing will happen in some other form in 10 years.
Yeah.
Or we are in this moment dealing with the things, and then something different will happen later because we've shifted the patterns, or we've, you know, we understand where this might be coming from. So just even this, I'm making this up, this poor guy, I feel like I'm kind of picking on
him. Yeah, we are adding to his the stuff he hasn't actually said, but you know, that's how we do this. We do.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. I think part of it is that I'm harsh on doctors because I'm frustrated by the missed opportunities there sometimes, you know, like just the, sure. And there are people that I am not referring to, but it's just my clients that I've had. Okay. So I have my own bias against doctors that I've seen in practice. How about that? And then the few that never listen to me when I actually go for medical care. So there's that. But just this idea of like, why are you not a good teacher in your mind or in the kids' minds or in your colleagues' minds? That's an important question to get to. Is it that you're not actually a good teacher, or is that that's really more about worrying about what you are thought of
yeah,
or the accolades that you should be getting. Mm-hmm. Taking that into medicine, you're going to be in trouble, right? Anyone would be. And so maybe it's not that. Maybe it's just like, I have given and given and given, and I'm exhausted, and it's hard to be creative and open at this stage. And that's fair, totally. And maybe it's not related. But this idea of that we're sort of a combo of we are bad at predicting future happiness levels and what is going to be good or not. I don't want to rain on anyone's parade, but we are bad at it. And we have many studies to show how bad we are and can document it. We are bad at it. And then look at your own lives, right? Like, oh, remember when I thought when I'd finally get that amount of money or buy that car or get this, whatever, the joy I thought I would have, yeah, versus the joy of planning the joy I would have. So we just know that's part of this. So maybe this is a piece of this, and it keeps us out of the moment. So when I hear him struggling to get up every day, he is not in the moment of his life right now. And that's because he's forward thinking, and that's what it tends to do. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's just some really basic grounding in the moment work he can do, which is like, I mean, I got a crazy idea. Go to school and don't try to reach the kids.
Mm. Mm. Well,
they will also smell that.
Do you know what's,
yeah, right.
You know what's
maybe
funny?
Maybe I want him to pay attention to me now.
Here's what's kind of funny. Oh, I did Brian's thing, the funny thing. You were talking about the other day. What was I going to say? Oh, so I think I can relate to this. This just happened. So back in 2014, 15, something like that, 6-7 years ago, there was a kid in a class that I taught who I just thought the world of. She was smart as a whip, super creative, soccer player, just an awesome kid. At the time, she'd have been 10, I guess, 10 or 11. And just such a cool kid, just really thought the world of her. And it was the kind of, weekly class relationship where it felt like she was almost like one of my own kids. Like if I found out somebody was bullying her, I'd be just as pissed and run down to the school and scare some people. It was that kind of a thing. And I just really thought the world of her. They moved to New York. Their family moved to New York. And I found myself just here recently thinking, I wonder if she remembers any of that. Did I, as a teacher, make an impact on her? Like, did I have any? Like, I thought I had this connection, but did I really? Because she's busy being a teenager now and, you know, got all that going on, and she's in school and she's playing soccer and winning state championships for her school and all this kind of stuff, and lives, you know, clear across the country. And there was a little sadness in me that maybe, just maybe, she'll not remember any of that. Like, yeah, that thing I thought I was doing, that connection, right? Mm-hmm. Did it actually connect? And I really don't like thinking about it. There's a real sadness to when I think about that. So I wonder if that's where he's at. Like maybe early on.
Like once he moves on to being a doctor, the kids are going to be like, all right, who's the next teacher?
Yeah, because I think everybody wants to have that feeling that they made a difference before they move to what's next. And he's not feeling like he's made that difference. Maybe that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And wants to make it. He wants to be a doctor for good reasons. Right. Not just ego reasons or money reasons, or usually, right? Like that's usually people have ideals about the stuff they want to do and participate in and like see themselves in a particular way. And you can tell that is probably true based on how he is frustrated with this teaching experience. And so that, going back to this perspective, Scott, you posted it on the chat, which is great. And I've just been watching it replay as you've been talking, and I'm thinking, like, how can he see this from a different angle? Mm-hmm. And a big part of it will be being curious, being open, like sort of asking the part of him that is offended by how these kids are acting towards him to sort of step aside and like be more present and try some stuff. I mean, that's the real power of good teachers, is they have the flexibility of like, every kid is so different. Like how they even do this and with so little pay is ridiculous, right? But they really can remove them, use their skills, remove themselves, and create this sort of place where a kid can grow and learn at a pace that's different from every other kid in the room. It's amazing, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe just get curious about Can I try something different? Can I look at this at a different angle? Can I wake up and find something I can be curious or excited about in regard to what I'm doing with these kids today? Can I teach a lesson that I would want to get? Because sometimes the try hard, this is what's awesome about the youngest generation, is they can so, I mean, always kids can smell stuff out, but these kids say it out loud, which is funny. So a great story is this dad, my friend's kid's dad was having a little midlife crisis and bought himself a Tesla. Anyone heard this story before?
He showed up. Well, it wasn't a convertible anyway.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, but he gets his Tesla and he makes sure to take all the kids home and just like, I'll drive. I've got the Tesla, you know. And they get out of the car and the kids are all like still hanging out or whatever. And somebody said, oh, and the dad says something like, did you like the Tesla? Did you like riding in the Tesla? And everyone's like, yeah. And they get in the house and my friend overhears them talking. This is a bunch of 11-year-olds, by the way. One just goes, oh, it's just kind of sad. He's such a tryhard. And you're like, oh, dad, the kids can see through it. And I think there's something to be said with each of us. Like that's what's actually amazing about being teachers is that kids see through it and kids just say stuff and they're terrifying. Mm-hmm. So first of all, bless you for being a teacher and then bless you for being a doctor. Those are hard places. I'm sorry if I'm sounding too critical, but I really do want him to try to figure out a different way to look at this and sort of adjust himself for this rough moment. Cause you know, what's coming is, you know, residency and boards. I mean, there are things around the corner that are really tough. And wouldn't this be just an interesting time to use the time differently and figure some things out, maybe about themselves, maybe no kid changes. And then Scott, like you said, this sort of legacy thing that it can be built into, I want to make a difference. I'm going to tell you as the therapist who eventually talks to these people who had these teachers or had these adults in their lives or, you know, mentors or whatever they are, they're not talking about the good ones. They're talking about the bad ones, right? They're talking about the ones that hurt them or offended them. And then sometimes there's like a really special teacher here or there, but it's usually because the other ones were terrible.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make an assumption for your that little girl, Scott, is that probably had a lot of good people in her life. You guys had a great connection. She'll either remember you as someone who's awesome, in contrast to someone who was terrible, or just part of a good childhood.
Yeah.
Right? Like
probably that, probably that out. Last thing. She's got great parents, great family. Like,
yeah.
There's no reason.
So for you, it might be a little bit of grief. And that's what I would suggest for him as well, that there is some grief here.
Mm-hmm.
And grief of maybe what it could have been, what he wanted it to be, what his intentions were. And so grieving as you go and live life is seriously the key. And it's just really hard to do. We're really good at shelving things. We're good at worrying about the future. We're not so good at like really being present and then like staring at what the present moment is showing us and dealing with it. So that's, this still sounds harder than it is. I would say get a good therapist for 8 months because you won't have time after this.
That's a good idea. this would be the perfect time slot. Yeah. You know, get a slightly more than half a year in with somebody who can help you along this process and help you not only deal with the now and here, but also have that perspective switch. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So this is perfect. Cause your life's about to get insane.
Yeah.
And very short order. 8 months may seem like a long time right now, but oh man, it'll go quick. And you're entering that world at a very interesting time. And it's just an odd.
Yeah.
Everything about it is going to be more work. But anyway, let us know.
And then just try one experiment with your class.
Yeah.
Like do something nuts, like do the opposite of try to get them to like you, do a lesson you would love to have had, like just like mess around a little and just watch the energy shift.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just like when a mom or dad is in the home, they get to decide the tone of the home, right? Yeah. Sometimes a really bad teenager gets to decide sometimes too, but the teacher has that same power and maybe trying to reach everyone is the opposite of energy. So yeah, just try something. It'd be really fun if you did something and then told us about it, like experiment, do something a little nice.
Yeah. We love that kind of stuff when you guys follow up. So let us know. Great. Very cool. This is all good as usual. Wendy.
Wendy, are you? By the way, are you calling us today from inside the wind chimes?
I'm sorry. Oh, it's very windy, and they are. They're about to be taken down because, you know, it's, I mean, who am I fooling? It's mid-November. It should not have wind chimes out anywhere, so I apologize.
I don't know. Why not? No, you're good. You can hear wind chimes. No, they weren't too bad. Kind of, but everyone knows it's windy. We can tell.
And it's very zen. Be in the moment. That's what the gong is for. Did you know that?
No.
In meditation. The gong is to bring, help you remember to bring your thoughts back to your breath.
That's like with a little popper with the dog when you're walking him and you pop the sound, the little dog clicker. It's the same idea.
I thought that was just because Jamie Farr didn't like the person singing on stage with the Viking helmet.
It's also
that. Oh, man, ask your great uncle or parents.
I thought it was J.P. Morgan was bored with the comedy act. I thought that was the sound of the gong.
That's some old school digging there.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, very good. Well, Wendy, I hope things go well for your Thanksgiving and all that business. Yeah. We're doing it at Misha's this weekend early, but we will.
Oh, fun. Are we doing the show next week and then just not on Thanksgiving?
Let's see. Yeah, yes. Right.
Next week, next Thursday, there's a show. Week after that is Thanksgiving, no show.
Yeah, no show next week. So
gotcha. So if somebody sent an email in about, I don't know, family drama or gratitude. That sounds like the exact opposite, but something that's a little Thanksgiving-y. Mm-hmm. Or like someone from out of the country talk about how weird we seem with our Thanksgiving. I'd love to talk about that too.
Oh yeah.
Let's get it themed, people. Let's do that.
Yeah, let's get in there and get that happening. We did that a little bit last year too, and the year before. So let's do it again. Let's get these family issues out while the holidays are here.
While we can.
That's a really good idea.
Wendy, have a fantastic week. And
thanks.
We'll see you soon.
You too.
Bye now.
All right, bye.
May all your wind chimes be windy. All right. I found them soothing. I barely noticed.
I did too, actually. I like them. I wish they were the whole time, like not just while she was talking, but I kind of wish that we heard them the entire time.
Yeah, because Discord blocks them, I guess, because they're too low. But when she's not talking. Yeah. That's it for the show. Now, a reminder to those fine folks listening at home, live or otherwise, we are produced by you. You are our bosses. Mm-hmm. How's that possible? Well, it's possible at patreon.com/TMS. I'd like to mention the following names as fine folks who have signed up here recently. Rick Schmidt joined
a fine name.
Yeah, Rick Schmidt. It's pretty good. He joined at the grade A level. Thank you, Rick. Ryan Johnson at the grade A plus level. Love that level. Thank you so much, Ryan Johnson.
Also another fine name.
Yeah, good name. And Rohan Humphrey. Humphrey. Sorry.
That's even the most fine name of all the names you read.
It's the finest, truly. Yes. Also at the grade A level. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like to be among these great, I'm going to assume gentlemen all the way through here, then please do. Patreon.com/TMS for everything else. It's frogpants.com/TMS. Brian, we can go, but we can't go until you play a song. Oh, and a quick reminder, I guess we got PM tomorrow. So normal PM. Great. I think Dan's here. I'll check with him.
Okay.
Make sure we're good there. But normal 2 PM business there. In the morning, we got 10 a.m. The instance. I'm going to be just me and Jocelyn tomorrow. Garrett's out of town, but we got a really cool topic. So tune in for that. And what else? Oh, Core tonight at 5 p.m. With me and John and Bo. So check that out. All right.
Home sack this weekend. It's
and Coverville today. A cavalcade
of entertainment.
Yep. You want that? Do you want your Taylor Swift on?
Oh yeah. Your Lord and Taylor. Come to Coverville today at 1 p.m.
You should put that new Lord album cover on the front of the video the whole time so we all have to stare at her crotch for 2 hours. You should do that.
Yeah, I could not figure that album cover out. Is she wearing
I don't know
something?
What's going on.
Is she
on.
Not wearing something?
I don't get it. It's weird.
Listen, I know she's 25, but I still feel weird looking at that.
I completely agree. And she in previous stuff, she was always like lots of baggy stuff, kind of. Yeah. Right. Like, what's her name? Billie Eilish style. Just like a ton of stuff on. And then suddenly there's this album. And look, it's fine. She can do whatever she wants to do.
Sure, of course.
But,
yes.
You know, I can't walk into a record store. Not that that's how I saw it. I can't open, Spotify
or
whatever.
How am I going to buy this album at Walmart?
Yeah. And Walmart, they carry it, but they cover it. They put a thing on it. Because it's like, I think I just accidentally looked at up a girl's skirt. I didn't even mean to.
Exactly. Yes. Anyway, upskirt pics. Send nudes.
Yeah. Send nudes, everybody. Hot nudes.
Dear Lord, send nudes.
Oh, your album? Okay, I'll buy it. All right. Yeah. Hey, Brian. Song. Let's do a song.
Yes. Joe Hefner wrote in and said, this Saturday I turn a half century.
Oh.
I'm pausing for a...
Birthday. Shit. I'm off my game. Hold on.
Happy birthday to you.
There you go.
That's right. And we're definitely not slut-shaming Kratz. It's two old men feel uncomfortable looking at Lorde's new album cover.
Yeah. The whole point... Listen, let me just say this. This might get me in trouble, but I don't care.
Oh, God. All right.
There's a reason the album cover is what it is. It's provocative. That's what this stuff does. That's the whole point. It isn't us going, ooh, I see something that's not there. No, they made it so that we would all talk about it. That's the whole point. So let's not, you know, and also I wouldn't call it slut shaming because I don't know how that makes her a slut. To me, it's just an artistic choice. But the point is, they do it for a reason, and that response is the reason. So, duh.
Yep.
All right, anyway, go ahead.
All right, so back to this. This Saturday turn a half century. If possible, I would like to hear a cover of my favorite song of all time, Fleetwood Mac's Don't Stop. I know it's not one of Scott's favorites, but Don't Stop has reminded me over the course of my life that bad situations are only temporary and that life does get better. Thanks for all that you do. Signed, Joe Hefner.
There you go. It's not that I don't like that song. They always use it in politics. It's always some stage thing. You know?
They used it once in politics for Bill Clinton's inauguration.
It annoys me. All the songs that get used for inaugurations and or anything on any side of any spectrum of the political spectrum, I hate them all now. I can't stand it. Because I know it's all bullshit.
So what, you're not gonna listen to YMCA by the Village People anymore?
No, I hate it. I don't like how that's used in any of that stuff. Even the ones where they get mad that they used it, like, someone will use it for their campaign and then the band will go, wait, we would never support you. You can't use our music. And even when that happens, I'm still annoyed that the song's happening on stage. This annoys me. It just bugs me.
Wow. All right. Well, okay. Anyway, this is a really good version. This is by a band called Pink Turtle. You know, you like the stuff like Postmodern Jukebox, where they take the songs and put them into not just another style, but what feels like another decade, another world of music. And that's what Pink Turtle does as well. This feels like it's an old jazz skiffle tune from the 30s or 40s. Pink Turtle and their cover of Don't Stop from their 2012 album, A La Mode.
Sounds good. We'll be back tomorrow at 2, 4 p.m. If you're a patron, you get it. If you don't, you don't. We'll see you then.
If you wake up and don't want to smile, if it takes just a little while, open your eyes, look at the day. You see things in a different way. Why not think about times to come and not about the things that you've done? If your life was bad to you, just think what tomorrow will do. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Don't stop, it'll soon be here. It'll be here better than before. Yesterday's gone, yesterday's gone. All I want is to see you smile. If it takes just a little while, I know you don't believe that it's true. I never meant any harm to you. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Don't stop, it'll soon be here. It'll be here better than before. Yesterday's gone, yesterday's gone, yeah. Don't never, never stop.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Shut your hole, Bane, before I put you in one.
Oh.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.